Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes, yes, yes. It's the last Thursday in this maddening March, weather-wise and basketball-wise. Hello, everybody. My name is JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is the FSP Crew Show. I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie, and as always, we engage in conversation and get you the information about the crazy worlds of sometimes it's in fantasy, sometimes it's in sports, and sometimes it's in politics. We got a great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll run that back to you again like I always do, 347-637-3220. We also have a chat room if you'd like to make a comment, statement, or a question and not talk to us personally and just do it in the chat. You could also do that. That's for your convenience. We're going to be talking about some NBA basketball, some college basketball. The baseball season is right around the corner. It's starting this weekend. Some teams are looking pretty good. Some teams aren't. We're going to be talking a little bit about that and whatever else happens to hit the road while we're talking. Without further ado, let's bring my two co-hosts in, one from the D.C. area and one from North Jersey, just like I'm from Jersey. And I bring the guy from D.C. first and then the guy from the Jersey. Talk to me, guys. Black and Jeff.
What's going on, people? If you still have a bracket, you need to be working on Wall Street.
That's right. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing tonight? Let's do the show.
Yeah, okay. All right, man. All right. I know a lot of people, eyes were glued to the set yesterday, and maybe they weren't, but the big thing going on for the last 3 weeks, or last few weeks, I should say, ever since the Super Bowl, this heat streak has been going on. 27 games as they rolled into Chicago, and this was probably going to be one of the first tests they would get that to see if this streak was going to be still alive or was it going to die. And as everyone knows, this streak died. It walked into Chicago, and let me read this real quick. I'm going to read this real quick and because there's a few things I want to say about what took place last night. No fourth quarter rally, no record for LeBron James in the Miami Heat either. The Heat's bid for NBA history, just like I said, ended Wednesday night when their 27-game winning streak was snapped by the Chicago Bulls, 101-97, setting off a crazy celebration inside United Center. Quite naturally, everybody knows, but if they paid attention, the record for NBA team on a winning streak was set by the Lakers in 71-72. 33 games. But LeBron James said this: there was no shame in falling short. It was one of the best that this league has ever seen. He's very humble about that, I guess. James said, referring to the streak began on Super Bowl Sunday, we have recognized that, and rightfully so. James tried to spur yet another comeback in the final minutes, getting mad after a rough foul, but the reigning MVP never could get the defending champions even or more importantly ahead. With only 0.2 of a second left, James took the final inbounds pass in his own end, dropped the ball to allow time to expire, turned and walked toward the exit. Now, I'm going to read something else in here because it's very, this is deja vu all over again, and I wanted to read this and just get it up. Let me put it this way. When the game was over, normally the teams come together and shake hands and whatever. That didn't happen. The Heat walked off the court and supposedly exchanged any pleasantries with the other team. They just like walked off into the sunset, and that sounds like a deja vu all over again when Isaiah Thomas and the Detroit Pistons got pissed off and because they lost and walked out. I think it was against the Chicago Bulls, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe Jeff can or Black can remind me what it was, but I'm pretty sure it was against the Chicago Bulls. Chicago Bulls beat them in a series in the playoffs, and rather than do any pleasantries at the end of the game before the game was even over, I think the last few seconds were ticking off, Isaiah led the Pistons off the court without exchanging any kind of pleasantries or a good game or whatever. And this was deja vu all over again with the Miami Heat. I'm going to get your guys' opinions on that, and then there's something that took place after the game. Jeff, talk to me about the game yesterday, and then Black.
Yeah, I mean, that thing about not, exchanging pleasantries after the game, that type of stuff, I don't think it's mandatory. And it's just, everybody's talking about it because it's such a notable streak. And even though they fell short of the record, the streak is still very impressive. But the thing is, once you win championships, nobody cares about winning streaks. Nobody cares about winning your division. They just want you to win another championship. And this looks like a team that's going to win another championship. And, the big debate, icon in the New York area, Clyde Frazier. And I was surprised. I was surprised that Clyde said he didn't consider Miami a great team. You know what I'm talking about. I don't remember the exact quote,
sure,
or something
sure,
like that.
Sure, I heard
and
the,
then
I heard
it raises,
quote.
Right. And then it raises the questions of the 71-72 Lakers with the 33-game win streak, which is almost half the season versus this current streak and the differences between the game then and now. And there are a lot of differences. And I'm not sure. They're both impressive. I'm not sure if one was a little easier than the other. Back then, there weren't as many weak teams. There weren't as many teams in the NBA back then.
Right.
But even now, even the weak teams are still pro teams. They might not have a lot of superstars, but they still got pros. They got guys who could play. They're not that bad. And the thing is, and it's kind of an interesting debate because there's a lot of differences. Some aren't quite so visible between now and then as far as, the travel goes and things like that. And things like travel, that's a wash because most of the time it's the same situation for every team in the league. So that's not going to make a streak easier or harder. So.
Black?
Good streak for them. Glad it's over. It wasn't a championship streak. I don't see what all the fuss is about. You got three lottery picks who could be three future Hall of Famers on one team. That's expected. They expected to go on runs like this.
Okay. Now, after the game, let me put it this way. First, let me say this. Late in the fourth quarter with the Miami Heat trailing, James delivered an overly physical foul, leading with his forearm on Bulls forward Carlos Boozer. Referee called a flagrant foul one. James wasn't angry that he was about to lose. He was unhappy the way the referees officiated the game. Unhappy with the way the Bulls were able to be so physical in James's view and get away with it. This is a quote from LeBron James. It's been happening all year. I've been able to keep my cool and try to tell my head coach, let's not worry about it, but it's getting to me a little bit. Every time I try to defend myself, I got to face the consequences of a flagrant or a technical foul, or whatever the case may be. It's tough. It's very tough. Come on, man. Come on. Let me put it this way. You mean to tell me in this 27-game winning streak that he hasn't been getting any hard fouls? Now it comes up because a team may have revealed the blueprint of how to handle the Heat. Maybe it won't happen all the time, but a strong indication on how to what the Achilles heel may be of the Heat and LeBron James being very physical with him. Now he's talking about this elbow or bone he gave to Carlos Boozer. What about the one? And I'm not sure if somebody can tell me. LeBron James came down on a breakaway, I should say. The only person that was between LeBron James and the basket was Kurt Heinrich. I think he met him at the foul line, and LeBron James lowered his shoulder into Kurt Heinrich, and Kurt Heinrich grabbed LeBron James, and they both went to the floor. And I'm not sure if any one of them got a foul, but that was the type of game it was. And you're crying, man? Come on. Stop. You're 6'8", 250, 260 pounds. No one's going to give you, for the most part, any competitive player is going to give you a free pass to the basket. And that's what was happening yesterday. The idea the point the Chicago Bulls were making was, you can come to the basket, but you're going to pay for it. You can come to the basket, and we're going to put a body on you, and you're going to have to either take the hard foul or dish the ball off, and we're going to cover your guys out on the perimeter so you can't you really won't have anywhere to go. And it worked. I wouldn't say it worked to perfection, but it worked enough for the Chicago Bulls to get the win. And now you're crying about physical play? I don't know how you guys feel about what was said about that, if you guys heard about that.
Here's a guy that probably went, if I saw the stat correctly, he went about 15 or 16 straight games without even having a foul called against him.
Right.
And now he gets fouled, and Marshall Reiner complained that this is a classic case of the Jordan rule. Just change the name to LeBron. You got to suck that up, man.
You know, and just when you what's the classic line from Al Pacino in Godfather? Godfather.
I know the line.
Go ahead, Jeff.
When I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Yeah, just when I thought LeBron James was turning the corner or had turned the corner and was just playing a game, and if he lost the game like this, instead of crying about the physical play and I'm getting tired of this, he does it back again. He reverts back to his old ways. I mean, come on, man. Like I said, you're 260, 6'8". Come on. And you constantly take it to the basket. That's one of his signature plays, is taking it to the basket hard. You think somebody's not going to give a hard foul or two or three or four? And you're not going to run into these games? And like Black, you're saying that 15, 16 games or whatever it was, he didn't have a foul called on him? Come on. Stop. That's buys into the crowd that I wouldn't say despise LeBron, but have a dislike for LeBron James because when he came into the league, he professed himself to be the king, and before he had done anything, okay, he's won a title. Okay, he's won a title. Got to give the man a props on the title. The Miami Heat been playing very well. But I said it last week, and I'll say it again. And I'll say it again with two more teams to back me up. The Knicks have beat the Miami Heat 2 out of 3. The Indiana Pacers have a winning record against the Heat. The Chicago Bulls have a winning record against the Heat. So when you say the Miami Heat are destined to win the championship, that's just in the East. I'm not even talking about the West. So I understand everybody thinks it's a foregone conclusion that the Miami Heat are going to leave the East finals and go to the championship against the West, whoever. But that is not a foregone conclusion. And Chicago won the game without Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose. So they were down two main guys, and they still won them. They still beat the Heat. So I know they're a good team. Like Black says, they have three Hall of Fame guys, three All-Stars without a doubt in their lineup. But they won it last year. The year before they struggled and didn't win it. There's no guarantee. I know the streak, an admirable streak, is a very good streak. Me, myself, I don't think this is a great team. I think it's a very, very good team. I don't think it's a great team. They played great for this 27-game streak, but I don't think this is a great team. So we'll wait and see what happens in the playoffs. I understand when you, in a series, you got to beat the team four times to move on. So be able to beat the Heat four times, it may be a daunting task, but I don't think it's a impossible task. Several teams have a winning record against the Heat. And this is admirable because the fact is it's late in the season. It's not early in the season like some of these teams may have beaten the Heat. This is late in the season, and they broke the streak of the Heat. And I got a caller from the 301. Welcome to the FSP Crew Show. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
What's up, Jerry? What you doing? Hating on the Heat, Slim? What you doing?
My man, I ain't talked to you in a while. How you been?
I've been good, man.
Yeah.
What you doing, man? Why you hating on the Heat, man? Why you doing that?
Well, I'm not hating on the Heat. I'm just keeping it real, my brother. Let me put it this way. They lost last night for the first time since the Super Bowl.
In 27 games, yeah, it's been 27 games.
You got to give them for that. But then your boy that you used to call Shabron, now you call him LeBron.
Definitely LeBron.
Starts crying about how physical the play was, and he's getting tired of it. Now, come on, man.
Yeah, 250, 60.
Come on, stop.
He wasn't complaining
about it during the streak. Now he comes up with it when he loses. Come on, man. Talk to me. What do you think about that?
I mean, he can't be doing that crying and stuff. But, you know, like I said, like I told you last time I talked to you, man, the Heat are the team to beat in the NBA, period. The championship is going through Miami and it's going through LeBron's hands. Depending on, you know, how he play or what they do, you know, that's going to determine who the champion is. My money's on the Heat. There's no guarantee.
Wow.
There's no guarantee. But, and I agree with you. I don't think they're a great basketball team. They're a very good basketball team. Very good basketball team. But I don't see any other great teams out there. I don't see any other great teams. I see a lot of good teams. You know what I mean? Good chemistry. I definitely like either the, you know, from the West, the Spurs, or and of course Oklahoma City. You know, I'm dying to see, you know, one of those two get mix it up with them. You know, of course my poor pathetic Lakers. You know, I don't even want to talk about that. But yeah, man, the Heat, they it. They the team to beat, man. LeBron is playing some unthinkable basketball right now. There's still one other part to his game that he still haven't gotten, and it's just that mental thing, you know. And he's turning the corner on it. He's much better with it than he was in the beginning. But you know, this crying and stuff, it lets me know, yeah, he still got a little bit of way to go. You know what I'm saying? Because there's, I mean, because Kobe, and I hate to compare him to Kobe, because he, you know.
Not in the same. Go ahead.
Yeah, talent-wise, I think he's got Kobe now, but mental-wise, no.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no way. Like you cannot walk up to Kobe and not expect Kobe to think that he, that'll tell you that he is the greatest player on the planet. No way. LeBron, I don't think he's that way. You know, I don't think he has that superior mental yet. I think he about 55% of the way there. You know, I don't know what he need to do. But as far as, you know, his game, I like the fact he going back. He's going inside the paint. He taking it inside, outside, flipping it. I mean, he doing everything, passing the ball. I mean, everything. But it's just that mental, man. It's just that mental.
Okay, Jeff, you want to comment on anything that the McCall has to say?
Oh, hey, Jeff. I'm sorry. Hey, how y'all doing, gentlemen?
I'm good. Nice to hear from you. You know, I don't know how to describe it. You know, LeBron is one of these polarizing people, almost like on one of these characters on a soap opera or something. And it cracks me up because after him, the Heat could give an MVP award to the refs. And this has been going on forever. I've been hearing since I was a little kid that even if it's not quite sinister, that the refs do give special treatment to star players. I don't even think that's debatable. It's just a question of how much so, if the league tells them to or they just think the league wants them to. I think these guys just take it upon themselves and then the league just rewards them for it. But the thing is, you're right on the money. I mean, NBA is a league where teams can repeat. Miami's coming off a ridiculous streak. Unless they fall apart the last, you know, month and a half of the season or whatever, they're a team to beat, you know? And all that stuff we were hearing before that, they don't fit and this and that, well, they managed to pull off 27 games, still very impressive.
Right. Black?
I don't want to hear any crime from a team that has two, maybe possibly three Hall of Famers. We can move on from the Heat. They do what they do. They have three lottery picks on that team, the biggest lottery pick being the biggest crybaby of them all. I don't want to hear any of this foolishness.
Okay. I mean, I totally agree. I mean, so what I'm saying, LeBron, cut this out, LeBron. Cut it out. Cut it out. 260-68 shouldn't be crying about what the refs. Just play the game. If you're the man, show them you're the man and overcome things like that. That's all I got to say about that. Let's move on over to the real madness of March. Right now, the anybody
right
who
now, two season trouble, Miami. Down 30-16 against Marquette. Second half, 19 minutes remaining.
Let me put it this way. Anybody who signed up, and I think I said it on the show, or maybe I said it on another show over the weekend, I hesitated an hour before March Madness took place. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, whatever it was, it started, is when I filled in my brackets. That's how much of indecision and should I or shouldn't I fill in my brackets. Because the simple fact is, I knew this was a whole bunch of hot garbage trying to figure out who was going to win in what bracket. And it's proven just like I thought it would be, not as bad as I thought it would be. Carnage in the West is crazy. It's like the only seed left in the West is the second seed out of the first five is the second seed. The number one seed's gone. Number three and four and five seed are gone out of the West, which is crazy. You got in the East, Gulf Coast, our beloved Georgetown Black. We talked about Georgetown.
We got set up. We got bamboozled. There was no way the Gulf Coast should have been the 15th seed.
Let me tell you that, Black. You and I both, when we were going through the brackets last week, said it was a foregone conclusion that Georgetown would get past Gulf Coast and move on against San Diego State. In my opinion, that was a foregone conclusion. I had them going to at least the Sweet 16, and I think I even had my bracket going to the Elite Eight. Well, they didn't even get out of the first round. And they got handled. I mean, it wasn't even close. They got handled, dunked over. It looked like they were playing in a pickup game on somebody's court. Georgetown didn't come to play. Florida Gulf Coast proved to be no fluke, because the fact is, after they handled number two Georgetown, they beat San Diego State, which was the seventh seed, by the same amount, 10 points. So they are going to play.
Georgetown came to play. This style of basketball doesn't work in tournament play. It doesn't work in March Madness. You don't press, you deliberately slow down the ball. That stuff doesn't work at tournament time. You got to run, man. You got to get out there.
Well, Florida Gulf Coast.
Big John would never tolerate this.
Florida Gulf Coast is I can't say they're not ready for prime time, because they're definitely ready for prime time. Their team, their coach, who's married to a former supermodel, and this guy is no dummy, straight from Wall Street to the hard court, and coaching these guys at high flyers and showboaters, going against one of their in-state powerhouse, Florida. They're playing them tomorrow night around 10 o'clock. You know, number 15 against number 3, Florida against Florida Gulf Coast University. Basketball purists, especially college basketball purists, are going to be glued to the TV set, watching these two teams go at it and see if Florida Gulf Coast is going to be able to pull off a major. This is going to be, you think it was big against Georgetown. This is going to be huge, because the Florida is a tournament powerhouse, and to beat Florida in the Sweet 16, this is the first time a 15 has gotten to the Sweet 16 ever. And now they got a shot to get to the Elite Eight. Jeff, talk to me.
You know, needless to say, I mean, I noticed Florida Gulf Coast just beating Georgetown. Sorry, Black, I thought of you when that happened. I think you and a lot of other people picked Georgetown for the Final Four.
I thought it was a setup, man. That's a terrible season in my head.
You know, and now I'm curious, and I'm sure an expert could answer this question. There are and Black was talking about this before, there are some differences between these tournament games and regular games. The thing is, you know, in the regular season, a lot of your games are in conference. You know who your opponent is. You know them very well. Even if you're playing teams out of the conference and you're not familiar, you got plenty of time to look at film and come up with a game plan. But these tournament games, sometimes you're going against a school you never heard of, like a Gulf Coast, you know, and that's got to affect the games because you only know maybe, what, 2 days before sometimes who you're going to play. That's got to have some effect. And the thing is, you can win 20, 25 games during a regular season. You can win your conference, but if you don't win any games in the tournament, it doesn't matter. I mean, the UCLA coach just got canned after winning the Pac-12, and I think some of these people in UCLA, they need to drag themselves into the 90s, okay? I mean, they think it's still the 70s, and they got Bill Walton, and they should be winning the title every year, and they're living in the past. They're really, really living in the past. And there's the kids now who they're trying to recruit, they don't even remember UCLA being a major power. But that's a tough job. I mean, I think they were interested in Shaka Smart, and that's a very fitting name. He is smart. I mean, he might eventually leave VCU, but he's going to do it for the right job, not for some place like UCLA where even if you win, you lose. With his options, he doesn't have to take that kind of job because it's just the expectations are very unrealistic over there.
They just read up Shaka Smart, too, for some more incentives in his contract. He was already locked up until 2020.
And, you know, good for him. And, and if he moved on, I wouldn't hold it against him because that's what happens in with coaching. That's what happens in the business world. But I give him credit for not jumping at the first job to throw him a few bucks, you know. And who knows? Maybe he'll stay at VCU. Who knows? But, people just assumed once he put them on the map, he was going to, you know, jump at the first chance. But, they did right by him, and when I leave jobs, I don't change jobs that often. I want to leave for the right job, not just any old thing, you know, which it's hard to know in advance. But you just don't want to start bouncing around. And you look at the guys that are held in high regard, like Izzo and guys like that. Those guys don't change jobs a lot. I mean, Coach K, I mean, he did start out his career at Army. That was over 30 years ago. You know, he's been at Duke forever. And I think, you know, if you could stay at a school a long time and win for a long time, you get held in higher regard than the guys who move around a little, like, Patino and Calipari, guys like that.
Yep. Hey, Mikel, you got anything?
Yeah, I mean, I like this Florida Gulf Coast team. You know, watching the tournament, that's what I'm looking for, man. I'm looking for that Cinderella mob that'll come out of nowhere and just play their hearts out, man. And them youngins, man, they was dunking, and you know what? And they boastful too. They boastful, too. Little Younger was like, yeah, we'll suit up against anybody. I mean, we'll suit up against the Heat. I mean, I ain't saying we'll beat the Heat, but we'll suit up against them. I was like, what? I don't know. Georgetown, I'm really disappointed. You know, I would at least thought they would have at least made it out the first round. But, I mean, But the past couple years, they ain't even got to the Sweet 16. They haven't even got to the Sweet 16. They probably got to the second round or some kind of carrying on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I'm excited to see these youngins go up against Florida. You know, and I know Florida, they can't wait to play you know, who's that, Larinaga? Larinaga's the coach down there.
Well, who's that?
Larinaga coaches Miami.
Oh,
they're,
Miami.
They're going up against Billy Donovan of Florida.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And the – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
And the coach, I think they take on a personality, even though he doesn't project to be extremely cocky. I think he takes on the approach the team takes on the personality of the coach. I think he instilled a lot of confidence in these guys and gives them a lot of free reign of what they can do on the court, obviously, because these guys for the last two games have been extremely cocky. And they also said that they practice and they have practiced the alley-oop passes and things like that in practice because at one point they were so bad at it. So they actually practice those things. So it's like second nature for these guys when they throw it up and they have these guys slam it down. It's something that they actually practice, which is I would say it's mind-boggling to me, but it's you don't normally hear that from a head coach admit something like that, that they actually practice something like that and when the team's not playing a regular game. So you got to believe that along with Shaka Smart getting offers and him turning them down, this guy, I don't know if he's coming out of nowhere, but basically coming out of nowhere, and pushing a team, the number 15 team, coaching the team, to these last two, one a big surprising upset, and another one is a mild upset going against San Diego State, that this guy is going to be getting offers from some other schools. And, see, you know, it all depends on where he wants to go. He's got at least a couple of kids, and they're pretty well established down in Florida, along with his wife. Don't know if he's willing to uproot himself and take him to another state that may be calling if the opportunity arises. So you have to wait.
You need a school where you have a beach on campus, man. Going anywhere. Hey, show me the money.
Hey, you know, let me tell you something. And I'm
do something, but I can't leave a school with a beach on campus. You kidding me?
Hey. What can I tell you, man? Let me put it this way. I'm looking at the they completed a four-year transition to Division I for all athletic programs in 2011. So basically, they're babies to the Division I athletic program, and to be able to do this. It, from the Atlantic Sun Conference, which I've never heard of. I don't know if anyone else has heard of that. The Atlantic Sun Conference, which they joined in 2007, is I've never heard of Atlantic. I don't know if any one of you have heard of the Atlantic Sun Conference, but I've never heard of that one. The play of these guys put that Atlantic Sun Conference on the map. I have to see who's actually in the Atlantic Sun Conference, but I'm anxious to see what they're going to do against Florida, because Florida is a no-joke type of team. They're tournament-tested along with their coach, and now they've may have surprised Georgetown, a semi-surprise against the San Diego State, but to put it bluntly, you're playing with the big boys now when you go up against Florida, who's been to the mountaintop in college basketball. So I'm anxious to see what they're going to do. And for those of you that don't know, there's two major league two pitchers. One's the major league pitcher right now, and I'm not sure about the other one, Chris Sale, who happens to be a very good pitcher with the Chicago White Sox, is an alumni of Florida Gulf Coast University, and Casey Coleman, both pitching in the majors. So they do have a little bit of notoriety, but not much. And if they pull off this against Florida, this will really be a huge shocker, to say the least. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. I am JT. I'm joined by my two co-hosts and a guest, Jeff the Joker, Black the Bookie, and the guest we have is Macau. I wanted to move on to the another subject that I don't know if you guys heard about this or not, but I heard about it 3 days ago, 2 days ago. Not 3 days, 2 days ago, but more 4 days ago, I should say. But I just picked up an article a couple days ago about now we're moving over to football. And this is going to get very interesting because the things that have been going on in the Supreme Court, and it seems like the laws are going to be changing for people who lead an alternate lifestyle. And this happens to be pertain to the NFL. And let me read this article. Let me read this article, and then we're going to be talking about what I've got to say here. When it comes to the NFL's willingness to accept an openly gay player, some think that the absence from the NFL of an openly gay player proves the league isn't ready. Under that standard, the NFL may soon be ready, ready or not. This is according to Michael Freeman of CBSSports.com. He reports that a current gay player is strongly considering coming out publicly within the next few months, and after doing so, the player would attempt to continue his career. Per Freeman, the player fears that reaction not from within the locker room but from homophobic fans, and that's a legitimate concern. The combination of paying for a ticket and supporting a team and consuming a little alcohol or a lot turns normal people into loud, classist, profane jerks who will do and say anything to get under the skin of the members of the visiting teams and sometimes the members of the home team. We've discussed this, the issue of gay NFL players with folks and around the game for the past several weeks, and the consensus is that because sexual orientation isn't obvious, a gay football player will be inclined to remain discreet because football players ultimately are just that, football players. They want to play football, and the fame and notoriety, whatever that comes from being, from coming out, will serve only to keep the focus on something other than football. Most players don't want to create distractions for any reason. Players who aren't stars fear that if they create distractions, the team will choose another player of relatively equal skill who doesn't draw attention from the team. The team is the key. Most football players are committed to that concept, drawing attention to themselves undermines the philosophy of team first. But this doesn't mean a player who perhaps sees his career ending won't consider the boast that may come from coming out. That's why the precise language of Freeman reporting is intriguing. And I'll say this again. This is a quote from him. The player would attempt to continue his career after coming out. This suggests that the player may not currently have a team, or that the player believes he may not make it onto the final 53-man roster of the team for which he is currently plays. there's a little bit more, but it's really not relevant. My point is this. There is possibility of a gay player. Maybe currently on a team, or maybe currently fighting to get on a team, coming out. Loud opinion from Mr. From Macau, I'm gonna go to him first. So he happens to be our guest here for this time. Macau, Talk to me. Gay player coming out.
Like I told my cousin, and y'all know I love my cousin to death, and like I
right.
told him, there is no openly gay player in the NFL. If it were one, we would know about it. You
right.
know what I'm
I
saying?
Thought,
we would know
we
about
knew,
it.
I thought we already knew about two of them.
No. No, I mean we don't know that they openly gay. That's what the argument with me and Victor was.
Right.
Oh, okay.
The dudes. No. Now let me say this, Black. There is no question in my mind that there are multiple gay players in the NFL right now. There is not one openly gay NFL player right now. You
right.
know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like about six or seven of them dudes right off top that's on the suspect list. You know what I'm saying? The Bama from Baltimore, the other Bama from Minnesota, and it's a couple of other fools that's on top of the list for real, really. But
you talking about the players that are openly advocating or fighting, saying that. About gay rights. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah,
okay.
them dudes is a little fruity, man. They
okay.
a little fruity, but, you know, it is what it is. They not saying that they gay, you know what I'm saying? But they look, you know, they on the suspect list. In my
okay.
opinion, they on the suspect
list. Don't forget about the 3 a.m. park incident with your boy.
What's this?
The 3 in the morning park incident with your man Braylon Edwards.
Mhm. Yeah. So I mean, but you know what? The issue isn't, you know, what their lifestyle is for real. As it's going to present a problem for whatever team or organization that gets involved with it. You know, the first one it's going to be all, you know, it's going to be a mess. But you know, the second, third one, you know, whoever else come out, it won't be as much of a problem. That's why I think that's why this Manti Te'o thing is very, very interesting, because, it, like I told y'all, there's no doubt in my mind that dude is extremely gay. No doubt in my mind. And no team wants to be the first one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? No team wants to be the first one. You know what I'm saying, and it is gonna cause a huge distraction, a huge distraction. I mean, you know, it's their life. You know what I mean. You live your life. You know what I'm saying. I'm not judging. You know what I'm saying. I would prefer to know that you out. You know what I'm saying, and I would prefer that you would be on my team. You know, on my beloved Redskins. I pray to God. God, it's not that dude. That number 10, Wolf, is that number 10.
Well,
woo!
Let me put it this
we
way.
We're going to be doing shows every night a week if it's number 10, Slim. I'm telling you. Woo! But nah, that's all I got, gentlemen. I think it's going to pose a whole lot of distraction for whatever team. And the person that does it, you know, my hat will be off to them, because they got a long road to toe if they do that, you know. And we'll see.
Yeah, well, you have to think that whoever's the trailblazer, whoever's the first, is going to have it the roughest. Anybody who's been the first in anything, in any of the sports, been the first or whatever, has always had the roughest road, because they had to deal with the majority dealing with the change and a new way of things happening, a new lifestyle or whatever they're dealing with. So a lot of people, when things are traditional, and football has a lot of traditional tradition in it, and something like this, which is really groundbreaking and changes the landscape, especially in the locker room, there's going to be some rough times for the first person that goes through it. So to have this person actually come out whenever they come out, is going to be monumental. I want to get your take on it, Black.
I think they'll be fine. The gay agenda is being pushed right now hard in Congress, hard on TV, hard everywhere. Mm-hmm. I think the guy's going to get plenty of endorsements, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Jeff, what do you think about that?
You know, I think eventually there's going to be an openly gay player. I mean, I wouldn't blame a guy for keeping that private until after his career is over because, you know, you can get a cheap shot in practice and stuff like that. And then if you're marginal, it could affect your job. That's why I think if a guy does come out as gay, he'd have to be a star. Because it'd be foolish for a guy who wasn't a star to do it because he doesn't have the job security. And I think it'd be a lot easier for a star player, especially a guy who's been on a team for a few years. So at least, you know, the coaches, the GM will figure, well, this is a guy we win with. And then the other guys will probably give him a break because they'll say, well, he's been with the team a few years. You know, we're not thrilled about having to take a shower with the guy, but he hasn't pulled anything yet. You know what I mean? That's just my gut instinct. I mean, they're probably, you know, they probably are gay players. They're just, there has to, you know, 1,600 guys in the NFL. There's going to be a few gay guys. Not, you know, like they say in Seinfeld, not that there's anything wrong with that. Just, you know, you can't blame them for keeping it private, you know. And I think Menti Te'o, I heard things.
Okay, well, since we're a litigious society, say you have a, not a superstar, not a star, a average player. He makes this 53-man roster, because obviously this guy sounds like the person that's in question. It, like I said in the article, he's trying to make the team. He makes the team, okay? He's playing, whether he's a special teams player or whatever he's playing, but he makes the team. And then when he comes out, after he makes the team, he gets cut. Okay? Does he get cut because he's a marginal player, or does he get cut because he came out and does he have a leg to stand on legal-wise? Or does this open up another can of worms? So what I'm saying is this. You have guys in the NFL, 1,600 guys. Some of them are obviously are going to be living an alternate lifestyle, okay? They one after the other, these guys start coming out. And one after the other, somehow they get cut. Do they have a leg to stand on, suing whatever team that cuts them? Because are they getting cut because of their lifestyle, or are they getting cut because of their ability? Now we're walking a fine line on one way or the other. Talk to me. Anybody, jump up.
You know, that's a fine line right there, a real fine line. I don't know. That's a tricky one right there.
You know, the thing is, years ago, and they couldn't prove it, but they said if a player became the union rep, they'd cut the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't prove it because it's very easy for the coach to say, oh, we didn't look good in practice, this other guy looks better. It's very subjective. So I'm telling you, if I was friends or related to a football player who's thinking of coming out, I'd tell him, keep that private until you're done playing because it's not worth taking a risk over.
Oh, I 100% agree with Jeff, like he said earlier too, if you ain't a star slum, you one of the marginal dudes, you might just sit on that. Sit on it. You know, but ultimately it is your decision, you know. But you know what, Jeff? Here's another thought. You know, if you a marginal player or whatever, you know what I'm saying, and you ain't been getting it in or getting the money like that for real, you know what I'm saying, why not cause this spectacle, you know what I'm saying, and get paid?
Okay.
Do you think they'd really get paid?
Huh?
I mean, they might get paid other avenues, you know,
right.
getting paid to speak in the talk shows. But they could wait till their career's over for that. They really could, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. That'd be smarter. That would be smarter.
Probably.
Well, let me put it this way. You got 1,600 guys. You know all those 1,600 guys are not smart guys. They're football players. So I don't care if you're straight or if you're gay. You're still a football player. So you got a gay. Now you're a football player and you're gay. You may be a star. You may be a marginal player or somewhere in between that. And you come out. And this is the real scenario. You come out and all of a sudden you get cut. Now maybe not. The day after you come out, but a week or so, 2 weeks, a month after you come out, you get cut. Do you have a leg to stand on? Do you think that you got cut because of your lifestyle, or you got cut because of your ability? That's what I'm saying. This is a slippery slope. Now the team's got to be able to justify them cutting somebody and not because of their lifestyle. And how do you prove it's not because of their lifestyle versus their skill set? That's something else to think about. That the person that comes out finally gets on a team. Now he's got leverage over a team because the fact that if they cut, the team's fearing now. Well, if we cut this guy. Is he going to sue us because discrimination? Or you understand what I'm saying here? And you can't tell me that if it's not going to happen because if a guy comes out, two guys, three guys comes out, whatever, one of those guys gets cut, he's not going to sue their team because he's going to say it's been discrimination, not because of his. He may not be a good football player. He's going to say, well, you cut me because I'm gay.
Well, I mean, being a GM, soon as Victor come out, you know, he a cornerback, you know, the first thing I'm going to do is call D'Angelo Hall and sign him. And then have him go head to head. As soon as an interception is, a touchdown is caught on, be like, nah, you gotta go. You slacking on your plays, though. You gotta go. He cut. Nah, man. I mean, it's very subjective. Like,
right.
I think it was Jerry that said that. It's subjective.
Right.
It's subjective. They can get put. You can get cut. Nah, I don't think that's gonna fly. But you know what? It'll be a public relations nightmare, though.
Right.
Because all Victor would have to do is get behind the microphone and be like, yeah, you know, my cousin cut me. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he got a problem with gay people, you know?
Right.
It'll be a public relations nightmare. Nightmare. And the NFL does not want that right now. Does not want that right now. They don't need it. They got enough problems.
So that's what I'm saying. So the player looks like if he comes out and he's on whatever team he's on, and whatever time he comes out after he makes the team, he's got leverage. He's got a lot more leverage than the average player because now I said I'm openly gay person, and if they cut me, I'm going to come out and say they cut me because I'm gay.
Right.
And that would be a public, like you said, it would be a public relations nightmare, and it would leave the team open, in my opinion, for litigation, because he could say it was discrimination based on my lifestyle. So it's just poof. I'm sorry, go ahead, Black.
Slippery slope there, man. That's going to be a hard thing to pull.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I mean, who would the burden be on? Would it be the burden be on the player, or would it be on the team?
It'd be on that player that's bringing it.
Yeah.
Cause like we said, I mean, cause like I said, you know, all they got to do is pick up another dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They'll pick up somebody off a practice squad, activate them up off the practice squad. and you know, and say that, you know, we don't project you as a starting player. Now we pulled this guy up off the. I mean, it's multiple ways they could do it because they've been screwing over players for years. I'm sure they could find a way to screw over him. It's gonna be real easy.
That's true. And we'll be going into overtime, only for a short minute or two. Tune in next week, same time, same place, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the FSP Crew Show. I'll be here, as always, along with my two co-hosts, hopefully, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. And maybe you'll get a little taste again of Macau jumping in, which is always a pleasure for Macau to jump in. Tune in tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be the No Chaser Show. I'll be the co-host of that, along with Mac Williams, who will be the host. We have a special guest rolling in, happens to be the CEO of the Pitts League, Robert Pettis. So he'll be here live around 7 p.m. So tune in to listen to our special guest. And on Saturday, Mr. Vic Gardner is not around. He's still serving his country, away serving his country, I should say. And I'll be filling in at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on that, which is the FSP show. And on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, again, be me, JT, the master with the master plan. Tune in for all those great shows. And also on Tuesday and Wednesday, Macau, let the listeners know.
Yeah, Grown Soul and Real Talk, 9 p.m. on Wednesday nights. Check us out. You know, we have a lot of good conversation about life, love, sports, whatever we come up with, man. Check us out at right here on Blog Talk Radio, Grown Soul and Real Talk, every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Are you still doing the Tuesday thing or no?
Nah, I had to fire the girl, man.
Oh, okay.
She had to get out of there, man.
Okay, you had to do a Donald Trump then. Is that what it is?
Nah, man, she was catching feelings, man. She was catching feelings. I'm like, whoa, we just doing business, sweetie.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Okay. All right. With that being said, Macau said his piece. Black, do you got anything before we get out of here?
Yeah, I'd like to ask Mikael, when in the hell did we sign Anthony Armstrong?
Y'all signed Anthony Armstrong?
I saw he was cut today when we picked up Will Allen and Justin with Durant, but I never recall him signing Anthony Armstrong.
Well, he is a Texas boy. He is a Texas boy. He from Texas.
Get the hell out of here. When did this transfer?
I don't know. I know he is from Texas, but I didn't know y'all picked him up. I did not know that at all. Hey, man, what y'all going to do with Romo, man?
Man, we got to pay him that money. we need cap space. We got to pay him the money. You can't sign anybody.
Talk to me, cap space. I swear. I am so upset with them New York Giants. I just can't even think straight. I ain't even mad. I don't even hate the Cowboys no more. I mean, I literally hate the Giants now.
Why? Why? Jeff's a Giant fan. Why?
Because, man, his little punk-ass owner was crying about what we did and whatnot. And, you know, and just messed us all up with the cap, man. Just messed us all up. It's just terrible.
What do you mean? Explain, because I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that.
I'm talking about the whole cap situation, how Mora was the one that bitched and moaned about what we did with, you know, the contracts back in 2010.
Oh.
He was the main circus leader. You know what I'm saying? And they took and imposed those penalties on us and the Cowboys. It hurt us more than it hurt the Cowboys, but hurt us real bad. You know, they took like $18 million from my salary cap, and we just losing, dude. We losing folks left and right now. Left and right. Left and right. So upset, man. Upset.
Jeff. Jeff, I can't let it go. I got to give you a chance.
Mara is not the only person to blame for that. And it wasn't just the Cowboys who got busted for that. So I think Jerry Jones tried getting a little too cute. And the NFL is very serious about their cap. They, you know, they really are. They don't like any funny business with that.
Okay. No, he isn't the only one to blame, but he led the charge. He led the charge.
But you know, it's Roger Goody Two Shoes. You know, he's the one calling the shots. You know.
I got to admit Jeff right about that. Roger Goody Two Shoes definitely calling the shots, and it's hurt quite a few. Cowboys, and it really hurt the Redskins. And I'm not exactly sure what other teams besides those two teams really got hurt. Can anybody?
No, it was just those two.
Right.
It was just those two.
Right.
I think Oakland did something, but they got off, and then it was another team. But the only two teams that got hit was the Cowboys and the Redskins.
Okay.
And we got hit the hardest, $36 million.
Oh, so I guess $18 million is nothing to sneeze at, huh?
Huh?
I guess our $18 million is just some chump change, huh?
Good God of my.
With that being said, we had to take a pay.
You know, all that money gets spread around the league. Each team get a couple million or so from it.
Is that right?
It's a mess, man. It's a mess. It reeks. It's just straight collusion. I told you, man, them good old boys get up there and make them deals and play these games like that. How the hell you gonna be a non-profit organization? Really? Get out of here, man. Get out of here, man. I'll be here. Man, don't get me started preaching, Jerry. You stop it.
quick game alert. 3:49 left in the number 2 seed. My Florida is down to Marquette, 63-44.
It's a wrap. Wow. It's a wrap. And, you know, I had Miami going to in one of my brackets. I had filled out two brackets. I had Miami winning the championship. That's a wrap. I'm out of that one. Forget it. Wow. That's why I really really shouldn't have even jumped in it, because I knew it was just a hot freaking mess, and it's proven to be a hot mess. We'll see what happens. I'm really one game I really want to see is the one we were talking about, Florida and Florida Gulf Coast University, to see how well they play each other. So. With that being said, I want to thank all you guys for joining me tonight, Jeff the Joker, Black the Bookie, and you, Macau.
Thank you, sir.
In next week, same time, same place. We'll be discussing whatever's going on in the sports at that time, and also about the March Madness. But next Thursday will be the first Thursday in April. With that being said, I want you guys wish you a good Friday. And a happy Easter, happy and safe Easter. Enjoy yourselves, peace and blessings, like Macau says. With that being said, I'm out. Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on.
Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, log on.